Welcome back to Money and Politics in Delaware. Special section 3 and 4 today, segments 3 and 4. And we do that with Dave Boomershine, who comes back with some regularity, actuary. I'll tell that story real quick. Then we have a new voice, and her name is Jennifer Derrickson. Welcome to the program, Jennifer Derrickson and Dave Boomershine. You're supposed to say, yeah, it's nice to be here. Yeah, exactly. A little enthusiasm on your side. And the way to do this is that Dave Boomershine is an actuary. I spent 10 years on the Newcastle County Pension Board. Dave Boomershine, Boomershine Consulting, was our actuary. I left the board. Dave remains, and he will not answer anything regarding Newcastle County. But everything else, state of Delaware, is a fair game. And Jennifer is also in that actuary space, a financial advisor to state and local governments. And as I shared in the intro at the very top of the hour, and in that area, she's spent some years in the credit agency. So, all right, I've teed it up for you. You know how we play the game. Boomer, 30 seconds about your business and you, and then Jennifer, 30 seconds about you and your business. Let's go.
Okay, I've been a consulting actuary with major firms and now have my own firm. I've been doing that for decades and decades, so pretty much have done it all. The primary actuarial service is to provide a valuation every year, and what we do is take the employees and the assets and the assumptions and so on and measure what the actuarial liabilities are to the assets and determine what the annual costs are for the plan.
Jen, come on.
I have been with Davenport & Company for about 8 months, where I act as a financial advisor to state and local governments, primarily on the East Coast. As you mentioned before that, I was at Moody's Investor Service, where I worked for in their public finance group and focused on local governments. I should note that the opinions expressed today are my own and do not necessarily represent the opinion of Davenport & Company, LLC. Any opinions expressed are not directed to a particular municipal entity, but are general in nature. These are statements of judgment as on this date and are subject to future change without notice.
All right. And you all both together are out there doing the proverbial speaking tour. Compliments to you. I've seen your present, at least the slide portion. It's fabulous. But having said that, give yourself a plug. Where are you talking?
We talked at the Mid-Atlantic Plan Sponsors Conference recently, and then we also were on panel at the Maryland Government Finance Officers Association, talking about the governance of pension plans and all the issues that could be coming up.
All righty. Boomer, you come on the show several times a year, have for years and years. You know how we get started. We try to do something local. We'll focus on Delaware, and some of the hot news here locally is ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, one of three entities that rates governments with its Rich States, Poor States study. I'll say 2 months ago, ranked Delaware 37th. Then that's backward-looking. It's forward-looking work, State of the States, that takes the governor's winter and spring commentary speeches, if you would, rates those, and came away and called Delaware Governor John Carney one of the worst of the worst. So I'm long-winded to tee it up. I ask you to bring something about Delaware in every one of your visits. What did you bring with you today?
Well, again, our focus is on the retirement plans, both the state pension plan and the OPEB plan, the other post-employment benefits, the retiree medical plan. And there's some relative good news, and then there's some bad news, then there's some really bad news. The good relative good news is that their funding ratio for the pension plan is still relatively good. However, it was over 90% in the past reports. This year they had bad investment return, a negative 1.5% return, compared to the assumption for the actual valuation of 7.2%. So that's a big loss, and that has changed the funding ratio, so that last year the funding ratio was at 93%. Now it's gone down to 84%. So that's a big loss. There are also some changes in assumptions. The credit agencies look at that and say, well, you still have a healthy plan if you're at 80%. But still, losing 9% in 1 year is a big deal on the pension side. But the really bad news, so we're okay on pension, not going the right direction, but on the OPEB side, the funding ratio is around 4%.
What?
Assets compared to liabilities are way low. Now, there's some reasons for that. The fact is that lots of plans have not started funding OPEB. They didn't fund it at all until about 10 years ago. So over the past 10 years, there's been some funding. Some are not funding, some are funding very well. But the average funding ratio now, after about 10 years of practice, is somewhere in the 8 to 10%. And again, Delaware is only at 4%. And part of the reason for that, and that amounts to about $7 billion in unfunded actuarial liability. But the prime reason for that at this point is that they're only paying about half of the annual cost.
There's a saying we have on the show, the criminals aren't in Smyrna, they're in Dover. Step away just a minute, or step back just a minute. I want to do a primer so everybody in the audience, not only the actuaries and the economic people, but I want to make sure everybody participates. So remind us, when we're talking about public pension plans, there's only three ways to get money in that fund: employers, employees, and investment returns. Is that oversimplification or spot on?
No, that's the first half of the equation. The second half is you pay benefits and expenses. So that employer and employee contributions and the income to the fund have got to equal the benefits and expenses being paid out. And what that really means is that if the income, as we just saw, has a big loss and the income portion goes down, somebody else has to make up the difference, either the employers or the employees. And the employee's rate is fixed, so typically in the defined benefit plan, it's the employer that has to make up the difference.
Let's do one more primer. OPEB, we went right for the juggler. I need you to take a step back. I need you to tell us what OPEB is and why it's becoming a national story. OPEB, talk to us.
Okay, again, other post-employment benefits. It's really retiree medical benefits. And what we've seen in the past couple decades is that in the private sector, retiree medical plans have pretty much dried up. There's still a few left, but they're not very strong. But on the public sector, the government plans, most governments are still providing some form of retiree medical, some of them fairly rich plans. But the funding for those plans, again, only started about 10 years ago when the Government Accounting Standards Board started requiring all governments to put these liabilities and costs on their financial statements, so on the balance sheet and on the cost sheet. So what's not so well known is that the plans are not very well funded at this point. Some have made improvement, but there's not very many.
And Boomer, I got to do a follow-up and go right at you in a positive way. Friendship aside just a minute. Do most public employees know the money for their health care does not exist, in my opinion, and to throw the numbers back at you that you used, there is a $7 billion liability with Delaware health care promises, and only 4% of that's been allocated. Here in Delaware, I can guarantee you the answer. They have no concept. But do most people understand the money does not exist for that health care?
No. I don't think it's public knowledge. I don't think employees are paying that much attention to it. They're just not aware of it. They just know that there's a promise out there. So what they're not aware of is that those promises could change as we go into the future. Lots of pension promises are locked in by state constitutions. But for OPEB, retiree medical, the promises aren't there. So employees are not that much aware of it, but the credit agencies are. And also the accountants are aware of it, because the GASB, the Government Accounting Standards Board, has put in standards, again, 10 years ago. They're about to change and become much stricter.
And less kind. If you're only 4% funded and you're hanging out there, it's $7 billion. And if you don't follow it every day, Delaware is already broke. I mean, we've overspent $400,000 in this budget cycle. I mean, the numbers are it's a tearjerker. I got to turn to the audience. We're having fun today. Jennifer, you're next on the hot seat when we come back from break. So we have Dave Boomershein and Jen Derrickson, and we're going to stay with us. And what's going to happen? And when we come back, we're going to do headlines: Pennsylvania, Illinois, and Puerto Rico. We're going to take a short break, and we will be right back.